day of March, and we have the House Bill 630 before us. Well, no, very quick.
630 is what we just gonna look at today.
Oh, no, this doesn't make sense.
That was what we had in that.
Oh, yeah, that's, okay, yeah, that's right, yeah, yeah. Okay, so we got 630 carried over. I have members to look at the draft, it's, and I just checked with the Department of Law and Gail Ritz.
I don't have it, man.
Should have it, it should be just going to lose.
I'll hear it.
And then we'll also be taking up House Bill 502. I'd like for you, just during the course of the hearing today, just to glance at House Bill 611. Representative Cato has asked that bill be waived to the committee if possible. I indicated to her if the committee wanted to hear it, we could discuss this fairly early on.
Where is it?
I'll copy everybody. Took one over to Boston, that's good. Present there, Mr. Taylor, Mr. Pettyjohn, Mr. Phillips, Mr. Son, Mr. Miller Chair, and also Mr. Goodbridge. Does anybody see anything now 6:30 that they?
Where are we on now?
6:30?
Well, I just, actually, we passed that out yesterday, just subject to everybody's approval and Department of Law signing off on it, and they've signed off on it.
Okay. Can I just take a second?
Yeah.
Which bill are we on now?
Well, I just, 6:30, just to get everybody okay.
Not any problems except for.
No, we're on 611.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, we've got a brand new title for it. And it couldn't be any more tight than that.
We already signed it out.
Yeah, we already signed it out. We just, but the deal was we're going to hold it until we kind of got. I haven't any indication at all of the court system, but. Well, I guess it hasn't been signed.
I have the bill. We had the bill.
Well, Don was the one who wanted to look over and think about the Class C felony.
Well, that's where he gets the aspect of it.
Okay, is he coming?
Coming down, but not for a while.
Okay.
I didn't have a chance.
Okay, we'll hold this in abeyance until he gets here. We'll hold up on that. As I say, during the course of the meeting today, take a look at 611, see if you can see any objections to waiving it. Apparently, what the goal of 611 would be to it would give the state the authority to ground an aircraft that does not have insurance. Apparently, we thought we did that last year. Evidently, we did not do that, and so this would accomplish that purpose.
Can we change the plan here?
Has the bill been passed out of transportation?
Yes.
Who asked us?
Betty.
I'd like to read it.
Okay. Well, that's why I passed it out around here. We'll deal with it later on. Or even decide not to deal with it later on. Whatever you want to do. Okay, we will now at this time take up House Bill 502, which is the Act relating to confidential tax information, the Department of Revenue and preparing for and providing for an effective date.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman?
Chairman?
Maybe before you do that, I have no objection to waiving 611 if none of the rest of the committee does.
Well, John, would you like to look at
it? I want to read it too.
Okay.
We'll deal with it later on.
I didn't hear him say that. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Withdraw.
Yeah.
We're in a very sensitive area there. So
that's the sponsor substitute. I mean, these are going to be the resources here.
Either way,
it hasn't been put in.
Oh, is that okay? Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Max, did you talk to Sam about
that? Okay. No.
Sam.
No? Okay, it's 502 is the forest. We do have Deborah Vogt from the Department of Law, and you have memos from her in your file relative to this legislation. I'm a little hesitant to say what we should do as far as as far as I personally am concerned. I just feel I'm prepared to say okay on the process. I'm a little uncomfortable with not knowing for sure whether or not we can waive immunity, but in a sense, I don't think we can ever know until somebody appeals to the Supreme Court and they make a decision. I don't see how we can ever definitively answer the question. So that just represents one member's opinion. Good. Do members have any other questions about the bill itself?
Make it two.
The bill?
No, make it two members.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'd like to get this work.
I'm concerned about the use of I'm concerned of the use on page, bottom of page 3 in section 6, requiring a resolution giving the committee the authority to receive confidential tax information. I think that's cumbersome. I think there's already a method in statute for that, which happens to be a subpoena. And that's something that's not used very often. And I think people who are not familiar with subpoenas may be a little bit afraid of subpoenas, but most of us on the committee have used them a lot. And it's a special kind of a subpoena that requires...
Subpoena to sustain?
That sounds like a good name to me.
I was just trying to confuse Ray.
That's another name for good subpoena.
Let's just talk Latin.
Yeah.
It, under the statutes, it requires the committee chair has voted the majority of the committee to issue the subpoena, and then it's approved by the presiding officer of the leader house. And if every time they need to get this kind of information, they have to go and go through the whole route under Rule 23 of the a resolution, et cetera, it's going to be a real cumbersome process. And I don't see any need for that, frankly. It also creates a two-tiered type of mechanism here that if they want to receive the information from the Commissioner of Revenue, they got to get a resolution. If they want to subpoena it from the oil companies itself, it's just a subpoena.
They couldn't get it from the oil companies themselves.
Why not?
It was part of their information.
It's confidentiality simply, as I understand it, prohibits the Department of Revenue from releasing it. It doesn't impinge on the authority of the legislature to subpoena it directly from the taxpayer.
Well, but that's for a different purpose, though.
And how so?
The purpose here is primarily to allow legislature to operate in its function of overseeing the laws, and whether there's a statutory problem that may be arising from some overall tax law. The purpose here isn't to go in and investigate any individual company's tax statement.
Well, it may or may not be, but regardless, I don't know why we should have a resolution required here to get this information, when other kinds of information that would normally be considered confidential or subject to the right of privacy can be subpoenaed. Then why have the subpoena statutes at all? If you want to have this kind of confidential information, you have to get a resolution. Why not make it anytime you want to get any information that's confidential, you have to have a resolution. I think this makes it more complex than it needs to be, and therefore I'd like to offer an amendment that rather than the use of the term simple resolution, just to insert the phrase, and the adoption in either house of a simple resolution, to just insert, instead of that, a subpoena, because we already have the subpoena set up in Title 22.
Under discussion?
Yeah, well, I'll object for purposes of discussion. Yeah, go ahead.
Under discussion, Max, do you then mean that wouldn't you, if this amendment passes, then also remove that language in here discussing legislative immunity?
I think there's two different issues there. Problem one is how to acquire the information. Secondly is how to treat the legislative confidentiality later on. I think you can maintain the waiver provision and stuff if, in fact, you can waive your immunity statute under the Constitution. I'm not sure you can anyway. I'm not sure it's an individual legislator's right to waive. But that's a separate part of it. I think one is, Max, is how do you access it? Do you access it by a subpoena through the statutes, which says you got to have a vote of the committee and the committee chairman. It has to be signed by either the president, the senator, or the speaker of the house. And then you send the subpoena out, and it has to detail what you're looking for. Or do you write up a resolution saying what you want, run it in the House, and have 21 people vote on it. I think that's what this discussion is.
Mr. Chairman?
And talking with the sponsor of the bill, Mr. Cotton, he really didn't, I think that the subpoena was his original choice of action. It was the finance committee that changed it to a resolution.
Mr. Chairman, just two things. First of all, for the purposes of making this technically correct, I think that the amendment technically should be on line one, to strike everything from the word "and" down on line three through information comma. Leave the word "may" in there.
Okay.
Change the word "request" to "subpoena." So the language would be, a legislative committee, after identifying the scope of an investigation or inquiry relating to matters of taxation, may subpoena the commissioner to provide, et cetera, et cetera. And that would be a technical thing. By the way, if people are concerned about something like this slipping by, it would seem to me that the present statutes, which require a signature by the presiding officer of the House, if there were an objection, that could certainly be raised on a motion and a vote taken. So there is a possibility for a check in that, and that's already built into the existing statute.
I don't think that the Dr. Lichter is just a statute, but I don't think there's any provision that that be done in on the floor of the House. I think right now you can just go up to the Speaker's office and he'll sign off of it. Yeah. I know at least 2 years ago when it was being considered, subpoena action was being considered, nobody was making any discussion about doing it on the floor of the House. They were just going to go up to the Speaker's office and have him sign. Spedjon wanted to.
I'm trying to remember how the subpoena power works during the interim.
Yeah. Well, the statute specifically says it has to be done by a standing committee, that legislative budget, not legislative council, are prohibited from using it in here.
So during the interim, you could get a standing committee, a quorum of a standing committee together, get approval, get it to the presiding officer, and then you have your subpoena. Is that right? I can't remember.
You remember?
But can a standing committee act in the interim?
I think it's covered in the language on legislative subpoenas.
Yeah, let's look it up here. Let's see.
Well, if I could just read out of it, the subpoena requiring the attendance of a witness before either house of the legislature may be issued by the president or the speaker. Subparagraph B is, a subpoena requiring the attendance of a witness before a standing or special committee of the legislature may be issued by the chairman of a committee when authorized to do so by a majority of the membership of the committee, and with the concurrence of the president or the speaker, or with the concurrence of the House or the Senate. So possibly, I guess you can go over the top of it. If the subpoena is sufficient, if it states where the proceedings, who the witness is assigned. This section does not apply to alleged counsel, nor to the legislative budget, not a committee. So it sounds like all standing and special committees.
Yeah. Well, you are broadening this somewhat then, if you're using a subpoena, because the way it's written now, it could only be done. This grant of authority could only be given during the session. It cannot be done during the interim. The way it's written here, the way you got it, you want it any time you get a committee.
It would have to be a special session.
No.
Not under my amendment. Under the present bill.
Right.
You know, if you really needed to do it, it'd have to be a special session.
Or in the
or during the regular session.
I mean, I'm talking about in the interim.
Yeah. Well, I think the difference between this bill and the regular question of subpoenas is that this bill deals with some super sensitive information. It is supposedly, I mean, I don't know this, but everybody seems to go along with the assumption that if this gets public, there's hell to pay. And I don't think that's typical of most legislative subpoenas. I think it's more routine. And I personally would feel more comfortable in putting it up to a vote of the legislature, and to have more full discussion, have the bit more public what the legislature's doing. Committee actions aren't usually followed that closely, particularly say in the room. And you can get a committee chairman and a presiding officer together, and they could do some things, presumably, which maybe the majority of the body would question.
Yeah, Mr. Gunberg and I have...
Just briefly, Mr. Chairman. Technically, if one were to look at the language of the law on its face, what you say is correct. As a practical matter, I think that the events of a few years ago aside, that subpoenas are rarer than hens feet and are not used except in extraordinary circumstances, that even an executive session is more common than a subpoena. So the only time when subpoenas are really used is where there is a real issue of confidentiality or somebody who is absolutely recalcitrant for some legal reason to provide information. They're just not used. They are used, I guess, occasionally in Congress on matters of national security or something like that, but they're not used in the state legislature. So as a practical matter, what we're dealing with, and when these people drafted this, they certainly knew that this was not going to be customarily used, and it never has been. And this system has worked well, and I don't see why we need to have a second system just for these transfers.
I agree with what Cornberg has said. I don't know why we need to have a second system either. I still think I'd like to find out the same thing as Mr. Cotton was. I want to know why the system isn't working. This won't necessarily give it to us. That's going to involve a lot of national teeth debating and everything else to even get us to the place where we can then have the body vote, to then have a committee run a subpoena through and the rest of it. This session's going to be long gone. I want to know now, and I think there's a way to find out now. I suggested it to the committee the other night, and I'll suggest it again.
Okay, well, I'm expressing a member's opinion. I personally favor the procedure that's in the bill that is before us right now. Every time that I've heard of a subpoena being threatened, and I can't recall that we used one because I've been in the legislature. I recall several times they've come within a couple of centimeters of using it, but I can't recall that any committee's ever used one, although I might be mistaken on that. But every time they've been doing it, it was not to get confidential tax information. It was because some witness did not want to appear before the committee, and the committee wanted very much to get that witness before the committee, for good reason or bad, I don't know, but for it was to compel the attendance of a witness, of a reluctant witness. And that, I think, is what this original subpoena procedure was all about. I don't think in the drafting of that language, and I think I was here when we drafted that, although again, my memory's lazy, or at least when we revised it. I think we were thinking entirely of 75, okay. I think we were thinking entirely of reluctant witnesses. I think when we're talking about looking into confidential tax information, that's a whole different story from reluctant witnesses. I think that demands the highest degree of sensitivity. I think it is sort of a federal case. If I'm going to sit down and look at a major company's confidential tax return, I think there ought to be several hoops to go through. I think everybody in the House ought to know that I'm going to get to do that. I think the spotlight ought to be on me so that I don't screw up and forget my confidentiality. And I just like the extra hoops. I don't see any problem at all if we pass this, but with a simple resolution like going through, I think that will be relatively easy to accomplish. I think there's a worthwhile public purpose for doing it. But I think the public procedure is a good one. That's, as I say, that's not the chairman's viewpoint, that's just a member of the Judiciary Committee's viewpoint.
Question.
As many are in favor of the amendment to insert the subpoena language. The Gruenberg amendment. Raise your hand. Mr. Gruenberg. Mr. Senton. Any of your opposed, raise your hand.
A few times a
day. Yeah. Last night, I thought you were wrong. I thought you were wrong. I thought I was more right.
Yeah, I thought so too.
But the chairman.
I'm not convinced.
Okay. Okay, I have another question.
Yeah, I've got a couple of suggested amendments, Mr. Minor.
Okay. Deborah, can you give us a hand? Sam, on page 4, line 3, where we talk about
to receive confidential tax information, is that an adequate statement of what we want to be able to receive, or do we, I thought I heard a word or a phrase of Art the other night of confidential tax information or return information, is that the language you want to change it? You need something to get on the mic here.
Yeah, why don't you just say whatever, if you would, identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Deborah Vogt. I'm Assistant AG with the state. The section in question is amending is Section 230 of the revenue statutes. And just off the top of my head, my recollection is that whole Section 230 is pretty specific about confidential tax information, and I think it would be fairly clear what this language within Section H is talking about. Just because it's sections A, B, C, and D make it fairly clear what information is confidential.
You don't see any problem at all using different language, slightly different language elsewhere in the bill when we talk about what's our word of art here?
Returns or return information. Yeah, that's used throughout the section.
But then it's not used down here in this new section.
It's on line 4 and 5.
Your question, Representative Sun, is the receive confidential tax information in line 3?
Yeah. The authority to receive confidential tax information may request taxpayer returns or return information. I don't know if there's a little...
Well, I thought you were talking about line 27, because you have the same thing. Disclose tax information. That's what we can't do. This seems to me like it ought to be consistent. We say the same thing in other places. But if we don't already, maybe it doesn't matter. Scott?
As Max pointed out, it's a two-tier situation. The resolution that would pass the House would be a relatively generically worded, simple resolution that may or may, you know, you could have as much information in there as you wanted. But generally, the purpose of the resolution would be giving the committee the authority to receive confidential tax information. Or another way to state it would be receive something that they can't receive now. And then more specifically might be the committee's request for returns or return information. And again, the committee's requirement is to identify the scope of an investigation or inquiry and then request returns or return information. So I envision the committee letter or the committee request to the commissioner to perhaps be more detailed, and it would be accompanied by a resolution that would grant the authority.
Mr. Chairman, the Section 230 used the phrase returns or reports consistently through this, that the returns and reports will be used, or particularly returns or reports, which is a whole another phrase here.
I mentioned the other night that this was the language that was contained in the federal statute, so it's probably its origin.
Is a report return the same as return information?
I don't think there's a difference between a return and a report, except that a report's a broader term
right.
used for a lot of other things,
yeah.
Some of which are currently public from the department. I think that the language returns and return information is adequately specific and runs throughout the both the existing statute and the proposed amendments. I think. Yeah, Mr. Sun's point that some of the a lot of revenue information is currently public, and the information that's currently confidential is that which is contained in a return or information derived from returns. So that would be return information that identifies the taxpayer and the particulars of the taxpayer's business. And I think the bill adequately identifies what it's talking about. And I don't see a problem.
You said that.
Yeah.
Okay. I have, Mr. John,
go ahead.
Okay, I just had one minor point on page 3, section 5. We're saying, is a felony punishable by a fine not more than $5,000 or imprisonment? is that a Class B felony?
I'm not sure.
No.
What's
Well, it's special, it's nothing, new one. If we ought to standardize that.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, our training has been done. What is a C?
Class C felony is up to 5 years.
Up to 5 years.
Oh, what do we do, a Class C misdemeanor?
Yeah, we do Class C misdemeanor.
There's three classes of felonies.
I, Mr. Chairman?
I think we have centered on one of them.
I move that we amend Section 5 to make it a Class C felony.
No.
Somebody, okay, identify for me what Class C, I always forget these.
Hayden.
Okay, here we go, Class C felony, zero.
Zero to five.
Zero to 5 years, and how much, how many dollars?
Because my thought is $10,000.
Maximum $10,000?
Yeah.
If you don't strike everything afterward, well.
Yeah.
You just put the word Class C in front of the word felony on line 26, you said.
Class C, the Department of Law haven't objected to that. We've been trying, instead of coming up with special things, instead of punishment, to classify them as one of the.
Yeah, as I understand, you're saying now that it's, that a Class C felony would then be punishable by a fine up to $10,000 instead of five, if you, is that correct, if you just strike that line?
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
A C felony now carries those penalties.
5 years and $10,000 max.
And the statute currently is $5,000 in 2 years, and so you'd be increasing the penalty.
Not just for legislators, but also for Department of Revenue or other.
For anybody. Of course, up to.
We believe in law and order around here, I want to tell you that.
I don't have any opposition.
A, B, or C, $50,000.
Yeah, A, B, and C are all the same, they're up to $50,000.
Yeah, there was. Bloomberg offered.
Or they could go to misdemeanor, misdemeanor right now is $5,000.
Civil liability.
End of year.
End of year.
I don't have a strong feeling whether it's a Class A or Class A misdemeanor.
Class A misdemeanor?
Class A misdemeanor comes closer to matching what you got in the bill.
Except for the 2 years. It's just that right now, the people that are at the Department of Revenue that see this, so that's, they're right now eligible for a felony penalty because it's more than 1 year. And it's not a classified felony according to the criminal code. So what you'd be doing is you'd be upping their penalty as well, which I don't necessarily have a problem with. But if you're only doing it for the, just so you can be conform to the rest of the criminal code, that's up to you. I don't have a problem with that. That's the judiciary case.
Well, overhearing the conversation here, we also get into the fact of whether you can be a legislator if you have a felony, if you lose your privilege to vote.
You're out of office. Because you've got to be registered to vote in order to be in office.
Of course, you're going to be in jail for 2 years, you have a hard time serving anyway.
Yeah.
That's certain people have found out.
Work release.
Well, you probably get it. Let me creep, we can send the shuttle back.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't be much good at reception.
No, that's right. Okay. The motion is a Class A felony.
Emphasis on the word willful now, remember.
Yeah, we see that, yeah. We see that.
I'm not so sure if I'm ready to go to Class C felony, if just leave it alone.
You can go either way, I think.
Yes, it is.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
I think willful is misspelled here.
Huh?
Line 25.
Two L's. Two L's. W-I-double-L or?
I think it's double L.
Yeah.
Which one?
Double L.
Well, let me get your dictionary.
W-I-double-L.
Into that.
Come on.
Who's on first, man?
Well,
I'm going to object to the motion to change the class of felony. I don't have any trouble leaving it like it is.
No, as long as we do it, knowing what we're doing, it maybe it makes sense. We don't have to be consistent, just be consistent.
I would like to have a.
Well, it's one thing of being consistent.
Yeah.
Changing class of felony is changing the punishment here.
And let's make it a class of
felony.
Well, personally, I think Mr. Cullen's got a good thought, though, that when you look at the word felony, it just stops you. A misdemeanor doesn't really sound all that bad, even if it's got 5,000 2 years.
DWI lately?
Well, I mean, you know, that's what a, DWI is a misnomer. People just don't associate that with the gravity that they should associate.
Question?
Well, I, okay, I think I'm convinced that we should leave the reimbursement.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Mr. Cotton?
The dictionary lists both WIL and WILL.
No.
Well, WIL is listed first.
Then we'll play the tax.
You know.
Go either way.
I withdraw the amendment.
You mean, we're gonna get a bill from the finance committee and we're not even.
No, no.
That's why I wanted to change the law.
Okay, is your motion still before us, Mr. Grunberger, or do you withdraw?
Max?
Mr. Grunberger, is your motion still before us, or do you withdraw?
Well, I didn't make the class.
You did, right? You were the one that brought it up?
Well, I brought it up, but I thought Mr. Grunberger made the motion. Okay, well, if I brought it up, I withdraw the motion. We just leave it, unless somebody else wants to do it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll move it, yeah.
Okay.
Let's vote on it.
Okay, and your motion is to what, to make it a class C only?
Class B. Okay, let's make it official. Page 3, line 25, after the word A, you just put C, felony, and strike everything else for the remaining of the sentence. So it would say a willful violation of provisions of this section is a class C felony, period, and strike it.
That's 50,000,
certified.
Willful is a adequate to set a mental intent here.
Willfully annulled, is it annulled?
Intentional.
I'll make that part of your amendment.
Change willful to intentional.
Okay, amendment to the amendment. Strike the word willful and put intentionally.
Members of the heard the amendment, I would be intentional, would be class C felony. Me is in favor of the.
And too.
Intentional.
Okay.
What?
Not A intentional, and.
Intentional violation. I'll reread it again. Mr. Chairman, I'm.
He's always trying to confuse us.
I'll withdraw the prior motion and place a new amendment here. So it'll say, line 25, an intentional violation of provisions of this section is a class C felony, period, and strike the rest.
Debate on the.
Go ahead, sir.
I apologize if we have gone over this before. I guess I'm inclined to ask for a division of the question and ask a question to make sure I understand the difference between willful and intentional. What is the difference standard for this? One of them is defined in the statute. Which is the one they use?
Intentionally defined in the statute.
Willful is fuzzy.
Which is a stricter standard?
Intentional.
More difficult to prove intentional than willful. And knowingly is one more step down from willful.
No.
Is that right?
No, I think it's intent specific intent.
Simple, load it up and win, but
I just don't want to divide the question.
Well, I thought this end of the table decided we opposed changing the.
Yeah, I kind of like intentional, but a little apprehensive on class B.
Excuse me, I have to find out how I'm going to vote here.
Excuse you, get this information, share it with the rest of us.
Person acts intentionally with respect to a result described by a provision of law defining an offense when the person's conscious objective is to cause that result. When intentionally causing a particular result is an element of offense, that intent need not be the only objective. But the person's conscious objective is to cause that result. That's what intentionally means.
That's willful.
Conscious objective.
Well, I don't think willful is defined. Knowingly is when the person is aware that the conduct is of that nature or that the circumstances exist. If they're aware of a substantial probability of the existence of an element of the offense. I don't know where willful falls in there, but
potentially is the most strict standard.
Well, it's also defined.
Means when you read the Pentagon Papers, you have to know that it's against the law to read the Pentagon Papers.
So we should use it.
And that you're reading the Pentagon Papers.
That's why you brought that thing in.
You don't really have to know it's against the law. You have to do it as an intentional act.
Right.
Regardless of whether you know that it's against the law. So you could not, if we continue, you could not convict someone under this standard if they read the tax returns on the floor and later say, gee, I didn't know what this is.
Yeah, you could.
Yes, you could.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they did an intentional act.
Right.
But if they thought they were reading Hansel and Gretel, they didn't realize they were reading tax returns, they thought they were reading a fairy tale, then you couldn't get them.
Not the fairy tale.
Which may be one of the same.
Potential, okay, I don't like that.
Okay, I move to divide the question.
Okay. First of all, we'll vote right now on whether to use the word intentional in the place of the word willful. Is that correct?
Their objection.
Is there objection? Is there objection? Okay, hearing no objection, the word intentional is in there. Now, to the other half, the Class C felony language. As many as are in favor of Class C felony language, raise their hand. Mr. Ruenberg, Mr. Taylor, Mr. Pettijohn, Mr. Phillips. Opposed? Mr. Miller, Mr. Sun.
I think he is.
I know, yeah. You got 4-3 or 4-2.
That doesn't count.
Doesn't matter.
Note the R in that.
Mr. Chairman?
On page 4, line 14, I don't understand that sentence. It says, the committee may consider information made available under this subsection only in executive session unless the taxpayer and the third party whose tax information is being considered. Now, who is this third party whose tax information is being considered? I understand that the taxpayer is, that's the guy that made out the return and paid the taxes we're supposed to pay him. But who's a third party whose tax information is being considered?
Which, where are you now?
Well, I think the third party is the taxpayer.
Page 4, line.
Oh, you've got the committee, you've got the commissioner, and then you've got the third party.
Mr. Chairman, the consideration there was that there may be another taxpayer who could suffer exposure as a result of the disclosure of a second party. So there could be.
But then they would be a taxpayer.
Yeah. Well, but it might be a third party. For instance, I want to look at your tax return, Mr. Miller. You say, fine, but by laying yours out on the table, we also learn something about Mr. Sun.
Or about his wife.
Or yeah, perhaps about your wife.
Or about related business.
Yeah.
So that's the third party protection.
Well, I think that's a little cumbersome, the language there, because you're talking about someone whose tax information is being considered.
Instead of talking about someone the way you just explained it, you explain it better than the way this language is, I think.
A third party whose tax information is
being
considered.
A third party who may be injured or a third party who would be adversely affected by.
Whose tax information is being disclosed.
And that's who
may be adversely affected by the disclosure of the taxpayer. Of the disclosure of the taxpayer's tax information. I don't know. I thought it was.
You could say various people could be affected directly or indirectly.
Adversely.
I would say if you wanted to make it precise, you should say whose tax information is being disclosed.
I think that then the only word you're looking at is the word on line 17, consider.
Well,
and disclose isn't the most artful term either because it isn't being disclosed.
It's being disclosed to the committee.
Well, it's
being considered by the committee too. So I'm not saying that that's the best word, but I believe that'd be a better word than disclosed.
It takes everybody's consent advice from any third party to have to consent to it. If his tax information is being considered, you have to consent.
That's a good point.
Of course, how do you know?
The Department of Revenue has expressed concerns about this third party question, and whenever there's a transaction, one party sells oil to another party, both the buyer and the seller's sales price are in either party's tax returns. They may not all be Alaska taxpayers. They may not be affiliates of the taxpayer. It might not even be possible to. If they were taxpayers, then you could just say another taxpayer, but they might not be Alaska taxpayers. They might be distant from Alaska transaction.
Mr. Chairman? Let us say you have Ace Oil Company. And Ace is publicly owned. I'm just making a legal argument, which may sound like taking this to the extreme. But if you're talking about the taxpayer and a third party whose tax information is being considered, literally, aren't all of those owners third parties? Yeah.
Of course, anything public wouldn't be paying taxes. Well, you're talking about Alaska, I'm not sure what you meant by public. I thought you meant like the state of Alaska is a public oil company.
No, I'm
publicly traded.
Oh, publicly traded.
Yeah, you could have, you know, like ARCO or Sahara.
Or even privately traded, closely held, I'm still that.
Let me ask this question. Are we debating a non-question?
Yeah.
Because this is always gonna be in executive session anyway. What this discusses is the situation under which you could do it in open session. And in real life, this is never gonna be done in open session. The companies themselves are not gonna wanna be, I mean, if it's proprietary and confidential information, they're not gonna agree to open session. If it's not proprietary confidential information, they can go ahead and publish it anyway.
This statute, on its face, does not just apply to oil companies.
Well,
you could have a situation where you might be investigating something relating to a private taxpayer.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. There might be, and I could conceive of a situation of this type, a situation where, for political reasons, in a very volatile legislature, which we've never had.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody may want to investigate somebody's tax return. And if it was a politician, that politician might very well not want this in executive session, because it could be just as damaging to have an investigation in executive session. That alone would be political suicide. So this bill applies to any tax.
Yeah, but that person could dispose of just by standing out on the courthouse lawn and saying, this is the information. Have at it.
It's not just the disclosure. It would be that they would want the process opened up to the press so that they wouldn't be killed by innuendo in the press. And this bill would apply in a certain sense.
Clear?
That's been my reluctance with this bill throughout. We're going after a particular problem, a particular taxpayer, and yet the entire tenor of the bill is to talk in generic terms because we know we'd be illegal as all get out if we just passed a bill to go after a taxpayer's returns. And that's what we're really doing here, and it scares me because of the potential for abuse that we're giving to the legislative body in its opportunities. It may yet become available through some distorted reasoning here, and Lord knows it can happen. I believe there's reasons for the separation of three powers that we have, and that an executive needs to be made accountable if, in fact, he's not properly handling the job. And if his department is not properly pursuing these tax returns, then we need to know that. I don't think we need to have the confidential information from the taxpayer to make that decision.
Well,
maybe it's time we have a real executive session with the people that are doing it and the people that are fighting it and find out what the problem is.
Well, I think the protection of taking it on a resolution across the floor of the House is probably an adequate protection to hold back most individual, you know, vendettas that may take place.
I don't know. I've seen the majority in this House do some really strange things a couple of years ago. All you're talking is 21 votes. Well, let's go nail somebody on the left.
Everybody
side.
At this table was in the minority.
No, that's not
on this side, or that side.
I'm fearful that it's subject to abuse.
I found out.
You were a third party.
Yeah, am I a third party in this thing here?
Okay, well, let's get back to the question we had before. Does anybody have any amendment language they want to propose for those lines 14 through 17?
What are you doing, Wade? I think I'd put in the word any on line 16.
Any, what, taxpayer?
Replacing the word a and putting the word any.
Any third party?
Yeah. Any third party whose tax information is being considered.
I don't know.
Any.
that motion? Okay, the motion has been made to change A to any. Is there objection to that motion?
You were.
I don't hear objections to that language itself. Further amendments or discussion?
Just one thing, just for the legislative history, since this may be the kind of somebody from the check. As I understand, the use of the word considered on line 17 is the same as though it were disclosed, basically. We're talking about that. I'm asking Mr. Buttons.
Not publicly disclosed,
no.
But the...
Disclosed to the committee.
The effort there was to protect a third party who might, if it were open, have his tax information disclosed.
Thank you. That answers my question. I do not have an amendment.
Mr. Taylor?
I hate to keep singing the same song, but I'll do it in the form of a motion when you guys vote, I guess, while I'm quiet. But I'm going to move that the Judiciary Committee invite the opponents and our department, or either one or two, if necessary, executive sessions to find out what is holding up the processing of these income tax returns, and that this bill be placed on hold until such time as we've exercised that.
Your motion is, again, for the record, to invite the participants or the...
Yes.
And the... What is now confidential tax return cases to meet with the committee and discuss their position vis-a-vis the Department of Revenue.
Okay. In executive session.
In executive session, yeah. You've heard the motion, all things objected
and
for purposes of discussion.
And to put it on hold, put the bill on
and
hold.
Put the bill on hold.
I'll separate that. I think the bill could still move right on while we're doing this if that's necessary, but I want to know what the problem is before I try and recreate the constitutional things we're doing here.
Mr. Grunberg?
Just to be sure I understand, Robin, what you're saying. If the bill moves along through, I mean, I support what you're saying. I would prefer that we can do that just as quickly, but not to make your motion during the consideration of the bill. Because
I went through the part about the holding the bill up.
I would request, I don't know if, I certainly would support that, but parliamentarily, is it proper to make that while we're considering a bill, or should we consider the bill and then he makes it, and I'll vote for that?
Well, we can be a little bit informal, but go ahead and start. I will voice my objection.
I just want to speak against it for two reasons. First of all, I will never vote to go into a secret session on an issue before this legislator based on as little information as we have. Secondly, I would not vote for this motion without any evidence on the record that any such session has either ever been requested, and B, that it fits within the legal categories for a secret meeting. I'm not going to vote for a secret meeting. I'm particularly not going to vote for it if it isn't organized and established by the chair of the committee. And I'm not going to participate in it if this motion passes.
Can we, I'm wondering if there's a way of satisfying everybody in this. And my suggestion would be that we would request the chair to talk to Mr. Cotton and the chair of maybe the Finance Committee or whoever, and to maybe by our next meeting let us know what the results of that discussion is and see if that would be, if there is a need for it, and what the best method of proceeding is, if there is. But
I want to express my thoughts on this. I oppose that motion for this very simple reason. Although we have the example that Mr. Cotton gave us of the way this bill could work and filling a particular need that was exhibited, we are not passing this legislation, I hope, just because of a particular dispute over taxes that exists over this moment. This bill is going to go on the books and presumably will be there for the next several decades. And we should not be aiming strictly at one category. In this case, the state may be totally all wet, and the bill still make all the sense in the world. Or, in this case, the taxpayer may be totally all wet, and maybe the bill still doesn't even make any sense at all. I think we ought to decide this something on the basis of what the bill says, regardless of any existing case. I don't think, if I knew every fact that was before us on the particular cases that were raised by Mr. Cotton, that shouldn't affect whether I think this is a good bill or not. So I would not feel at all comfortable in going into a secret session, you know, for those very reasons myself.
It's not my intent to split this committee or to in any way challenge or care on this question. I'm not saying that at all. I have some very significant concerns that the sole reason for this legislation being before us, the propelling force behind it, is the need for some of us to know why we've got roughly $1 billion of uncollected taxes sitting out there, and some of it, we're told, goes back as far as 1970. We don't know, and then everybody hides behind confidentiality, and we can't get the information we need to start making some decisions about those things. Now, this bill is aimed solely at one industry and a limited group of taxpayers within that industry, so as to garner that information. And I can't believe that this bill is being offered after 26 or 27 years of history in this state, just because we'd sure like to know about everything that may come up in the future having to do with tax returns. And that's why before I vote on this, I want to know that there really is a problem, and that there is something, a breakdown in our constitutional framework, before I'm going to start adjusting immunities within the House and whatsoever clauses here in this legislation where we're talking about our Constitution. I want to know that this machine is really broke before I start adjusting those big things and playing with them, because to me those are very serious concerns. And when I see the potential within this legislation for abuse, I become very fearful of the very rights that each one of us holds most sacred. And I wouldn't want to have this legislature be coming after one particular individual on his or her tax return. They might feel very justified in doing it sometimes. And I don't want to open that door unless I know there's a really good reason for it. And the only way I know to find out is to suggest what I have to the chair, and that is that we hold an executive session and find out what these people are arguing about. And then we can decide whether or not this legislation should move forward or shouldn't move forward. That's what I'm trying to
do. I just want to go in front of it. I'll recognize Mr. Cotton. I want to emphasize for the record that I do not consider that I'm doing this for one industry. As a matter of fact, you know, later when I talk about it, I can suggest several industries that very well could fit into more or less the same category of interest. And in fact, it might be in some individual sometimes who is, we might be able to make better and more intelligent decisions in the legislature if we got the confidential information on an individual. I'm not prepared to give you examples on that because I can't think of any on that. But nevertheless, I want to emphasize for the record that we are not going after just one single industry in this member. Mr. Cotton, go ahead.
A couple things. House Finance Committee held some hearings on the whole this question. What's wrong with this picture? Why isn't this working? And those transcripts are available, and that'd be half of what you want to hear. And again, the industry apparently would be reluctant, I've been told privately, that it would be reluctant to discuss the problems they're having with the revenue for fear that they would be given a tougher time. And secondly, I'm not sure if you suggested that was the sole reason that the bill was introduced. Because it certainly wasn't. I think it's there's some symptoms that have become, a lot of people have become aware of, and not just taxes, but tax settlements. There's a lot of information I think that it would be prudent for the legislature to be aware of, and would better enable the legislature to perform its legitimate functions. So it isn't a single incident that needs to be taken care of by some major legislation.
Mr. Chairman, I have one other question. And maybe Representative Cotton would be kind enough to address it too, since he's really been involved in this a long time. I'm concerned also that the information we're talking about here also has, or can, or could very much have an effect upon the bargaining relationship to the two parties to a contract that has nothing to do with income tax. we're talking about oil. We're talking about asking them to give us numbers, which some of those numbers are going to be things I assume like, what's the cost of producing on the slope? How much does it cost to drive your oil through the pipeline? And we're in the market of selling our oil to these same people. And just, I don't know how we can look at one part of it and not see it and then have an effect upon the same bureaucracy that then turns around and says, okay, now we're not collecting taxes from you. That was all confidential. The bell is unrung. Now let's talk as third party or arm's length people about how much oil we're going to buy or sell. I'm concerned that that may be an aspect too here.
Of course, the executive branch continues, and that their role is not changed by this bill. The legislature still doesn't, for instance, have any say so over whether or not we settle with the pipeline owners on a tariff. We don't get involved in that. We don't exercise any executive functions as far as tax collection. The legislature does get involved in sales of resources if they're for more than 1 year or for other under other circumstances. So I don't really believe it redefines any legislative versus executive role. But I think that, again, the people of Alaska, that was our original proposal, was to make them completely public. And I was convinced that other people's rights to privacy would be hurt, and that certain proprietary information that would harm businesses' competitive situation might be harmed. So the closest thing you can get to it, if it isn't public, is the representatives of the public acting at an arm's length from the executive branch, who still carries out all of their constitutional functions.
I think all the members are aware of the motion. I'll call the question. Are as many as in favor of Mr. Taylor's motion? I think everybody knows the motion. Please raise your hands. Raise your hands. As many as are opposed, raise your hands. Down. Get the motion paid. Further discussion or proposed amendments? Mr. Sun.
Page 4, line 7. Just again, mechanical stuff. The sentence starting at the end says, on adoption of the resolution, the Commissioner of Revenue shall provide the committee with the requested returns or return information. Seems to me that somebody has to go ask the Commissioner to do that. Does this read right? The adoption, the House passes the resolution on the floor. That's the adoption of the resolution. Seems to me the resolution gives the committee the authority to request the information.
Well, I think if you read beginning on the bottom of page 3, the sentence would read, skipping the interim clauses, a legislative committee may request the Commissioner of Revenue to provide returns and return information. The request should be in writing, and then upon adoption of the resolution, the Commissioner shall provide the committee.
I think it envisions a letter from the committee and a resolution.
Yeah.
First the letter, then the resolution.
Right. Okay.
The commissioner doesn't have to surrender if the resolution doesn't pass.
Okay. Further questions or amendments or discussion?
Yes, I'm not sure how to deal with this. The thing that bothers me is subsection I on page 4, the waiver. And I'm not sure that that's legal or constitutional. And I have public policy problems with requiring a waiver. And I move to strike subsection.
Well, let me just ask a question. Does the bill work if we strike subsection?
I would think it would. Do you have a problem that it wouldn't work?
I'm aware of.
Yeah,
then the only protection.
IRS wanted certain sanctions and they wouldn't.
Well, the sanctions is there are sanctions in subsection 5.
If we remove this is the immunity section. If we remove this section, there's nothing to keep me from standing up on the floor of the House and saying.
Other than it would be a violation of the ethics code.
No, it would only be a violation if.
house decided that later on there was.
Let me ask Representative Cotton a question another way. If this section is deleted, is it your opinion that you would obtain the information that you requested?
Yes. I'm not sure that the administration would support the bill at that point. I'm not sure that, again, the Commissioner of Revenue mentioned the other night that she was concerned that about IRS's reaction to that removal of that, but she didn't suggest that they would automatically reject or be opposed to the bill at that point.
May I respond to the office, Robert?
In the classic legal sense, we have on the one hand a possibility that the IRS may object. On the other hand, if this thing is in there, we have taken a constitutional step with great ramifications. I would feel that if we're ever going to talk about waiving a constitutional right here, we should have in black and white that we know the IRS is going to object. Otherwise, in the legal sense, that's not this, that issue isn't right. And I don't want to have a waiver in there unless at least I know that the IRS is going to object. And I'm not going to go on supposition.
Chairman, if I could just comment, I'm not aware of anywhere else in the statutes where we've ever waived a right that's in the Constitution. And I'm not sure it's a right that an individual legislator has to waive anyway. And that's my basic feeling that I'm not sure you can do it anyhow. I think the right's a public right, and you can pass this in the statute, but I don't think you get down to examining the purpose of the right and why the waiver, the immunity and the waiver is in the Constitution, and it's not
the John's waiver. It's not the first page.
And so I would hope that the confidentiality provisions that we have in the rest of the bill and the penalties we have in the rest of the bill would be sufficient for the Commissioner of Revenue to act without having this in there. And
well, the problem is there really isn't a penalty for legislators. What it says is that a person to whom this chapter applies, meaning the legislator, because this is the section that goes in the evidence code, may not disclose tax information contained and furnished to a person under this bill. But if you look at the ethics code, there's no penalty, there's no felony conviction, there's no fine under the ethics code. Unless my memory is bad on that, all it does is say that you behaved unethically and if your fate is decided by the member of the body of doesn't even say that, it's just referring to the presiding officer of the appropriate house, and he can do whatever he or she wants to do with it. But I think that's the extent of the penalty if you don't have this waiver. Mr. John,
I think what we may have to do is if Mr. Greenberg's motion passes, is put in the substitute section I that clarifies that any legislator who discloses information obtained by, you know, through this mechanism shall be a violation of the code of ethics and maybe it is? Sorry, it's not in subsection A?
No, it's in the first
part. It's on page 3, line 3. But there's no penalty for that. That's the problem.
Well, it's because we have the body set that.
It only is set by the body. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
never mind.
In the immunity section of the Constitution, it says you can be punished by your body, but not by any other body.
So the House would have to bring an action against to censure or to expel or whatever. Just cut and then Mr. Greenberg.
A couple things. One of the things is that there's a couple different situations that could take place. You could receive that information, hide it, and then after the session adjourns, you could expose it. And then you would not be protected by the immunity clause.
Hmm.
Or if you were...
You mean after you're out of office?
Perhaps after you're out of office.
Yeah.
The disclosure of it.
So what you might want to do, instead of just eliminating section I there, I would suggest that consider this anyway. Lines 18 and 19, put brackets around, starting with notwithstanding, ending with on line 19, Alaska. Mm-hmm. Start a new sentence there. And then at the end of that paragraph on line 27, put brackets around after the word law, starting with and then the remainder of the other two lines. Then it would read the disclosure constitutes a violation. Each member, before receiving, shall acknowledge in a form prepared that the information is confidential and disclosure prohibited by law. You may want to consider that instead of, if you just want to remove the constitutional waiver provision.
May I respond?
Yeah,
this brings into play another issue, and that is the privileges and immunities section, that we can't be held to answer under the state constitution for anything occurring in the course of our duties. And to say that, and I'm looking at line 22, constitutes a violation of this section, and a violation being punishable as a Class C felony, I think would violate the privileges and immunities clause, whatever we would call, legislative immunities clause, I guess it's called.
You would then have to exercise that. I'm suggesting this would cover it in every case that you weren't able to enjoy your immunity.
I think that language, as you've suggested, would be unconstitutional on its face for a, or at least as applied.
The legislature is not above the law. You have certain privileges and immunities, but you still have to follow the law.
You can't be held to answer for something that occurs.
Well, the language, Mr. Chairman.
6-2. What is it?
It's 2-6. Legislators may not be held to answer before any other tribunal for any statement made in the exercise of their legislative duties while the legislature is in session. Now, the way the courts interpreted that is a little broader than that language suggests.
The banquet.
Right.
You don't have to be in session.
They
hinted
at it.
How can a court say that it doesn't say what it says? You have to be in session. But the court says that doesn't count. Is that what they've done?
Sort of.
It also goes on to say, though, that your privilege from arrest except for a felony or a breach of peace. Now, this will be a felony.
Yeah.
So we would be covered.
I don't think that's what it means. I don't
think it's going back to the reality.
I just,
it does.
I'm sympathetic, and I'm happy to work with Mr. Cotton on this, but I think it'd have to be in a different manner, and if we want to move the bill today, I'd like to have that. I'm happy to
vote any motion. I get clarification, Sam. You mentioned that even if without this immunity thing in here, you feel the commissioner would cooperate.
They wouldn't. The commissioner would have no choice. This doesn't. She may not support the bill. I don't know. But if this law passed without this section, the commissioner would have no choice.
Choice? No choice to do what?
But to comply with the law.
And release him.
Yes.
Question.
Are you ready for the question? Well, let me ask you a quick question. Do you support this amendment? This is your bill. I'd just like to know your opinion.
Okay. No, I don't support the amendment.
We're back to Monday night or Tuesday night.
I'm not suggesting that because it's my bill. This bill is introduced by the Budget and Audit Committee. I don't have such pride of authorship that I'm not going to recommend that the committee not adopt the amendment because I don't like it.
No, I was just, as a member whose opinion I value, I just want to question. Not because you have veto power, but just because I wanted to know what's going on.
I do not agree with that. I think that Mr. Sund has made it perfectly clear that this section would only take effect if somebody did this, and then the Supreme Court ruled that we in fact had the right to waive that immunity. And many people suggested that we don't have that right. Other people suggested that under certain circumstances you do have that right. And I don't know that there is a answer that's hidden away someplace. It's going to be an interpretation. And I think that the legal minds here are probably as versed on the question as any court's going to be.
Okay, you've heard the question. As many as are in favor of the motion to remove Section I, leave the hands. Mr. Gunberg, Mr. Taylor, Mr. Pettijohn, Mr. Parkinson, Mr. Phillips, and Mr. Poser, raise your hands. Mr. Martin. Okay, the motion passes. Section I is out of the bill. Further amendments.
Mr. Chairman, I will move. I guess it'll be the Judiciary Committee Substitute now, Bill 502, Immigration Rights.
Mr. Phillips moves the bill to the Committee Substitute for the Judiciary Committee. Is there objection to that motion? Hearing none, the bill moves. Mr. Forms. passed out earlier to you, just so you see, just be aware of what it says. House Bill 611. This is legislation that Representative Cato, Chairman of Transportation, has asked this committee to waive, and it's an area that I think the members of this committee in particular have some expertise on, so I didn't want to waive it without bringing it up.
I'm not excited.
I told her that if we didn't waive it, I would schedule it for a fairly early hearing. I'd just like to know the recommendation of the committee.
Did we move on that?
No, he's waiting for you.
Wait for you.
Mr. Sun, I know you, particularly you were interested in and knowledgeable about aircraft insurance. Is it okay with you to waive it, or do you want to?
I'd like to at least wait a day.
Okay,
look it over.
Okay, we'll hold it for the time being, and I'll get back to it. Okay.
If we waive a bill, does that mean that our record for not letting a bill through unamended is also?
Yeah, doesn't affect that.
Oh, no, waivers don't count.
We already broke that record.
I would just like to note, just for the benefit of the committee, that I found this movie on the council's desk over here just to see where it's.
What about confidentiality? Right? What about right to private?
I want to lay my coat down over here, and it's.
Well, anybody who likes Bill Murray gets my vote.
It's a good movie.
Well, yeah. I watched it last night. It sucks.
Where the buffalo roam.
I'll remind members that we're still on the record.
You got to read the caption.
Okay. We have one other bill that's going to be coming up next. Next Thursday.
We have 6:30, which we're waiting for Don.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. We have. 494, also by Mr. Cotton. You were being awfully kind to Mr. Cotton. An act relating to lien for labor and materials furnished. He suggested, and I think it's a good suggestion, perhaps we might have a subcommittee look at that in advance of next Thursday's hearing. And since you are
the expert on lien law,
do you want to be a subcommittee of one, or would you like to have another member?
Okay.
Mr. Sun is a subcommittee of one to look it over and make sure.
You might say the chairman was leaning to a point.
Leaning, yes.
Okay, the other thing we wanted to bring up was House Bill 680. We talked about it earlier. Mr. Lockmore had a chance to look over the bill and think about this Class C felony, this Class C misdemeanor.
No, I was waiting for the court system to check, for Carla to check with their court system and get back to us.
I have not heard from the court system yet. Department of Law indicated to me that they didn't have a
flag.
Because of the House. Well, honestly, I don't get too crazy about it.
But Mr. Chairman, the specific reason was to get input from the court system. Has anybody heard from them?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll hold this over until tomorrow. Give them another day. In fact, we might call for our
I just really hate to come out without knowing, but
that's up to you.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr.
Taylor, we have something else going this bill?
No, they don't want this bill. No. It's the only thing I'm up right now is the 6:30.
I guess I have a certain facetious nature at times, but the comments made earlier today about whether or not anybody would attend an executive session or secret meeting. And I may be wrong, but it seems to me I've been walking through the door there on caucus meetings that are closed. About a year and a half, and if there's an awful lot of meetings go on around this place where the public isn't exactly involved. Now, if that's any different kind of a meeting than the meeting I was suggesting to the committee, I'd sure like somebody to decide a different one.
Well, I'll be glad to, but
maybe
I want to take the time right now. I have refused to participate in the past in certain executive sessions by standing committees that I did not feel met those three requirements. I just refused to attend. And I'm not speaking for Mr. Fox, who made a statement, but I know in my case, the world difference between a caucus and a meeting of a standing committee. And if they don't meet, the standing committee doesn't meet those three requirements, I personally don't feel comfortable in attending. I don't know whether I would have put that, what we were talking about in that press case or not, but I personally.
I just wanted just definition, Mr. Chairman.
Look at the Westminster.
Mr. Fox.
I remember when we had this bill before that Carla Forsyth sat in the audience and acknowledged that we were holding this bill to get input from the court system. Did she know that it was going to be taken up today?
I thought so.
She was sitting there.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think. In fact, my suspicion is she probably feels like she hasn't heard from us. It's all right.
Or if we haven't heard from her, it's all right.
Yeah. I'll Okay, let's go ahead and move it, and we hear from her before it comes to the cost clerk's desk tonight, or tomorrow morning, I'll pull it back.
I'll move, Mr. Chairman, committee substitute for House Bill 630, judiciary as amended by Judiciary Committee with individual recommendations.
Do I hear objection to that motion?
That's everything.
Hearing no objection, House Bill 630 moves.
I don't make any notes.
Okay, anything further to come before the committee? Remind members that they're not going to be out of town, I'll say it again for the Saturday morning meeting, that it's been suggested that it be at 8:00 in order that the athletes on May 30.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I thought our ballgame was at 10:45, I found out today it's at 10:15, so I'll go for 8:00 if that's...
Now we're down to 8:00?
Makes the chairman feel better.
Actually, since you've destroyed my ability to sleep in until 11:00, another half hour doesn't make a difference.
I won't be here.
If I don't hear an objection, we'll...
I'm not going to be here.
Yeah, I don't...
I won't be here.
You're not going to be here, how many are, let me ask how many are going to be absent?
If it's any earlier than 8:00, I'll...
I just thought I saw four hands here real quick.
Well, you're talking about any time on Saturday, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're leaving town too?
No.
If it's earlier than 8:00, I'll move to amend the Constitution to prohibit cruel and unusual punishment.
Well, I don't mind meeting at 8:30, I just moved the bill.
Okay, let's leave it at 8:00, that's all right.
Well, it's just the four of us, I don't know why we're talking about it.
Yeah, I don't know why we're talking about it. 8:00 it will be.